Today, Skip Heitzig talks with Pastor Chuck Smith about everything from staying the course as a pastor to prophecy and current events.
The Bible tells us how to increase our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I've often said it's hard to trust someone you don't know. And the more you know them and they've proven themselves trustworthy, the greater trust you can put in them. And I think that that's with God. The more you know Him, the easier it is to have faith and trust in Him to take care of things.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Welcome to The Connection with Skip Heitzig. Today, we're going to take a short break from our current series, Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace, as we spend some time with Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Not only is he one of the founders of the Calvary Chapel movement, but he has also had a huge impact on preachers like Greg Laurie and Skip Heitzig. On this special First Friday edition of The Connection, we'll learn about Chuck's view on biblical prophecy and how it ties into current events, insights from his recent tour of Israel, and details about his new book called Faith. In fact, if you'd like a copy of that book, we're offering it today for just $15. Just call 1-800-922-1888 and ask for the new book, Faith, from Pastor Chuck Smith. You can also order online at connectionradio.org or when you write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Again, that book is just $15, so order a copy today. And we'll hear more about the book and many other topics as Skip chats with his friend and mentor, Chuck Smith, in this special First Friday edition of The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll get to biblical prophecy in just a bit, but to start off today's interview, Skip begins by getting some details about Chuck's new book, so let's listen in.
Hey, Chuck, I was reading through your new book today on faith, and I'm thinking of all the examples that you were using about your father and your sons growing their beards. After so many years in the ministry, Pastor Chuck, are you still learning lessons of faith?
I think that as long as I am alive, I will be learning lessons of faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Hmm. And that's my prayer. Lord, greater faith. You know, I had a young fellow years ago that came up and he was saying, you know, Pastor, I have all the faith in the world. And I said, well, that's remarkable. You know, I wish I did. Hmm. And after a while, he's saying, you know, could you loan me $50, you know, I need to. And I said, if you have all the faith in the world, you've got more faith than I have. You know, you should loan me something, you know. But, you know, it's interesting. You can talk about faith and, you know, you can brag about your faith, but yet we come so far short of what we could have and should have as far as our faith is concerned.
Pastor Chuck, we just had a glorious pastors conference, senior pastors conference in Murrieta. And every year it seems to get bigger and bigger. There's hundreds. And not everybody's there. That's just the representation of those who come. When you look at all of these men of God, these pastors from now all over the world, what goes through your mind?
Skip, I'm just totally humbled by what God has done, you know, and to think that He, you know, chose to use me as an instrument in what He had in mind to do. It's God's work, and I just recognize it as such. But what a privilege to be chosen of God, to be there, to have the privilege of watching Him do His marvelous work. It's just, you know, it is a thrill. And I'm awed. I stand in total amazement and just blessed, you know, out of my skin, really.
And Chuck, I've heard you say on many occasions that you never asked for what you have, and you were really excited at the thought of one day perhaps pastoring 250 people.
Yes, that's very true, Skip. And so that was the fulfillment of my ambition. Anything beyond that is just what God has done.
Chuck, go back a few years to around 1975 when the Bible College at Twin Peaks began. And I remember, because I would come up from San Bernardino where I was going to college and get in on some of those classes. And if you go back from 1975 and now you think of 50 campuses worldwide.
Isn't that amazing?
First of all, how did it happen that all of these campuses developed?
Well, you know, it's just one of those things where the Spirit of God just is working. And you have people that are saved and they're feeling a call to the ministry. And so you're wanting to somehow equip them for the ministry. And so you start a Bible college. And so they just come and they study the Word of God, and then you pat them on the back and offer a prayer and send them out, and God just blesses. And, you know, and if they're truly called, it becomes obvious, because God just works and blesses their ministries. And so as, you know, the work has expanded in so many areas and around the world now, we everywhere that... you know, you go into a new territory, and people are saved in this wonderful movement of God's Spirit. You find the need of training up those that are brought in and called and want to go into the ministry. So it's just one of those things that they just, you don't plan it. It just happens, you know.
Wow.
And you're just trying to accommodate what the Lord is doing, and you run as fast as you can, just trying to keep up with what he is doing and has planned all the way along.
Well, I know about Austria and Hungary and Jerusalem and York, and is it right that there's some new developments down in Brazil?
Yes, of course, we have now a Bible college there in Brazil, and it's, again, God is working. There are churches that are being raised up in those nations around Brazil. And so it's giving them an opportunity to send their young people who feel called to go into the ministry. So it just continues to expand and continue to grow.
Chuck, I once asked you a question at a pastor's conference about revival. I said, have you ever seen a true revival? And I still remember your answer. You said, yes, I have, and I'm still seeing it go on before my eyes. and now, with where you're sitting today, how do you feel about that? I'm probably, you feel stronger.
Oh my, this definitely is a move of God's Spirit, and that's, I think, what revival is. It's just God sovereignly moving by his Spirit, touching lives, and you watch it go out and out. And then the thing that worries me, though, Skip, is that oftentimes, I think, in these movements of God, men feel that they've got to begin to take control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing my best to keep my hands off and just let God continue to work. And, you know, it troubles me, you know, when you study revivals and when you study these movements of God's Spirit, how that they seem to deteriorate and become the efforts of man rather than just the moving of God's Spirit. So it's our hope and prayer that as long as we're alive, that we can keep our hands off of it and just let God continue to move.
Pastor Chuck, as you taught through the Bible and still do, one of the things I remember distinctly is putting within your congregation a love for the nation of Israel. And you, I remember going on a trip with you one time and a few years ago, and you announced that it was your last tour. Of course,
I've had five of those now.
Yeah. And you keep going back. You recently just went to Israel.
Yes.
And came back. And how many times was that for you?
This was the 40th time.
So, you've taken thousands of people to see that land.
Yes.
And taught the scriptures. They've come alive there. Israel's always in the headlines for one reason or another.
Oh, my, yes.
And so here we are living in these days, and we're watching, it seems, as if the world is isolating Israel and turning against Israel. Well, tell us the significance of that.
Well, of course, the prophet Zechariah was talking about Israel, and it said that basically the nations were going to turn against Israel, and that they would be alone, but God was going to still stand for them. So it talks about those, all of the nations be gathered together against it. And, it was an interesting thing because, as Ezekiel tells us, the nations that will be coming against Israel in the last days, he spoke of Iran. And, of course, when we first started going to Israel, Iran was one of the closest allies to Israel in the Middle East.
Hmm.
And, I was talking with a bunch of the officers in the IDF when we were there at that time. And I said, from the Bible, don't look to Iran to be a ally to you, because the Bible says that they're going to be an enemy in the last days. And they said, oh, no. Israel, we're so close and so forth. But when the Shah was deposed and the Ayatollah, took over, I started getting calls from Israel from these guys that were at that discussion. And they said, what does the Bible say is going to happen next? And so I said, expect Turkey to go again, you have these, mutual defense pacts with Turkey. But I said, Turkey's not going to be a friend, and they will be among the nations that will come against you. And, of course, just recently, in the last year or so, we see Turkey now really not any longer a real friend to Israel, but taking a position against Israel. And, of course, in this last experience where they sent these ships to break the Gaza blockade, Turkey was deeply involved in the sending of the ships and so forth. And we see that Turkey has really turned against Israel, as the Bible said they would, and be a part of the aggressors coming against Israel. The tragedy is that it would seem that the United States also is beginning to desert Israel. And you can't understand that, because in looking at Israel, it is the only real ally that we have there, true ally, in the Middle East. And so for us to begin to turn against them for whatever reason, political or whatever, it is just really sort of terrifying, because you go back to Abraham, and God blessed Abraham, and God said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And throughout history, you can see where that has happened. And so it's really disturbing to me that the United States would begin to take the position that we are against Israel, and in forcing Israel into alliances that will only guarantee another war.
And Chuck, I know that many ask you the question they have for years, why is the United States not mentioned specifically in prophecy? How do you answer that?
Well, of course, Jesus is the heart of prophecy, and the United States, I think, is going to probably go down. I think that we are facing problems today, and we are turning to you know, other things than God for our solutions. We've got a real problem right now, of course, in the Gulf there, where this oil spill has taken place. And when you look at the potential of that thing, if you know, I mean, you've got it. It seems to be growing more and more oil, rather than shutting it off. It's increasing, and you know, the potential of that whole thing is just unreal. And there are so many scientists that are really deeply concerned that that could be almost a volcano that will that is erupting, you know, as we've and so I think that you know, the United States is in for some bad times as we have really turned our backs on Israel.
Pastor Chuck, for a moment, let's focus on ministry. You've pastored not only thousands of people, but in effect millions of people by raising up other young men who have emulated a style of teaching the Bible verse by verse. Now, that's what you've done, and you've gone from Genesis to Revelation, and I personally sat under a few of those times when you've taken us through the Scriptures. At the same time, it seems as though many young ministers are being drawn to new trends in just trying to attract a crowd. And so talk to those people, or talk to pastors who get tempted to be drawn away from the simplicity that has marked your ministry to these new trends.
It's interesting. Jesus said that, you know, that he called them that they might bring forth fruit, that your fruit might remain. And remaining fruit, just the plodding through, you know, they made fun of Isaiah because they said, oh, you know, he ought to be teaching in kindergarten. His teaching is so simple. It's just line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you know. And yet there are those who are looking for you know, immediate growth. They're looking for an immediate success, large congregation, and they're giving in to these trends today that are appealing to, you know, people from a psychological standpoint, how to have a better home, how to have a better family, and, you know, these kinds of things. It's a social kind of gospel, and it's dealing with social issues. And it's the neglect of the Word. And yet it is the Word that brings strong growth. It is the Word that develops faith. And so by just going through and just teaching the Word, you have solid growth. But then you also have, you know, the fruit remains. It isn't just something that has come up overnight. Because it, when it comes up overnight and there's no real foundation, it can begin to go down just the same way. And because there's no depth, you know, there's it's the seed falling among the wayside, you know, and it just or it has no depth. And it, when trials, tribulation comes, it dies and it passes away. But that which falls on the good soil, you know, it brings forth fruit, 30, 60, 100 fold. And but it takes longer because, it, you know, you just don't have immediate growth like you do on the stony ground where it comes up fast, but no depth of earth, and thus it dies in the problems arise, it dies off. But when it's planted in good soil, it doesn't come up as fast, but what does come up remains and brings forth fruit. And thus, that's been the pattern of our ministry, is to plant good seed in good soil.
Chuck, as you look back over the years of your ministry then, and one of the reasons I believe you've been so blessed in what God has given you as a steward is because you never held on to it. You never wanted it to begin with. You never had the ambitions to hold on to it. Like you always say, what you strive to attain, you have to strive to maintain.
That's right.
So as you look back over the ministry of Calvary Chapel and now all of this fruit, what are your concerns for this movement?
Well, basically, my concern is that the generation will grow up that really didn't know the Lord, in that way. In other words, with the succeeding, you have the primary generation, the generation that knew the work of God, knew the move of God, and they understand that it is God's work and all and. You've got that first primary generation. The second generation, they hear about what God did, but they're not necessarily, it isn't something that's actually happening in their lives, but they hear about what God had done, and so it's a memorial almost. You're living in the past of what God did. You get the next generation, and they don't even hear about it, so it just seems to be that that's the way it goes. So my concern is that each generation becomes a first generation, that's why we're going out again with Love Song, to see if we can't, create a new generation that has the first-hand experiences themselves, so that you don't, deteriorate with each generation and get further away from what God did in the beginning.
Hmm. Well, we can't wait to see you out in these parts.
We're looking forward to it. I think it's, I was just going over, and sometime in September, we're going to be there in Albuquerque with Love Song, and we're just really looking forward to it.
God bless you, Pastor Chuck. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a joy and great to talk to you.
Okay, God bless.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for joining us for this special First Friday presentation of The Connection with our guest pastor, Chuck Smith. And that's all the time we have for today. But before we go, Skip has a brand new book available that explores some of the threats facing our nation, churches, and families. And here's how to get your copy.
Our nation is constantly on guard to preserve democracy and freedom. But we also need to pay attention to the safety and well-being of our souls. In his newest book, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzig examines the spiritual threats that all believers face, from the personal and family levels up through the global level. Find out what God's Word says about these threats and how we can best follow God's plan for victory. Order Homeland Security for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The price of security is constant vigilance, and that's just as true spiritually as it is nationally. What threats in today's unpredictable world are we facing, not only as a nation, but also as the church? Find out in Skip Heitzig's latest book, Homeland Security.
Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Churches in this country are under attack, and your souls are also under attack. It was Paul the Apostle who gave us the battle briefing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He writes, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world."
Order your copy for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at connectionradio.org.
So call our Resource Center at 1-800-922-1888 to find out more about that, or visit our website at connectionradio.org. You can also write us anytime at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And don't forget, you can order that new book by Chuck Smith when you contact us as well. It's available for just $15, so ask for the book Faith by Chuck Smith when you contact us, and we'll get a copy or two sent out to you. Just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
which is also where you can go to hear this entire interview unedited for time. We didn't include everything that was covered during this discussion, but you can hear it all again online at connectionradio.org.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Next time on The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues our study of the book of Matthew, chapter 24, as we learn more about the end times. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.